24-7 All Sports Radio. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah. Tuesday. And one of these. And we're off. That's right.
Loud noises!
Yes!
That's exactly what my alarm sounded like this morning, by the way.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Well, fine. Leave me alone.
How are we doing, everybody? 6:05 on a suddenly. What does the sun go down right now?
Well,
usually in the wintertime, we never see the sun.
Oh, it was black at this time of day.
We get up, we go to bed, it's just black. I went to bed last night when the sun was out, and I got up this morning and the sun was already out. I'm completely thrown for a loop.
That sun's working overtime, boom.
Yeah. Feel some BTO coming on. We got a little show for you today. We got a good little show. Head coach, general manager of the Calgary Stampeders, John Huffnagel, he's going to slide on by his usual Tuesday spot about 6:40, 6:45.
Which player now?
That's John Huffnagel, the head coach and general manager.
Not quite sure I understand your situation.
No, he's ready.
Okay.
He's ready. We're going to talk with Huff about a number of different things. His defense is in pretty good shape.
They're playing good football. They've had the luxury of playing against two very, very young quarterbacks, and we can't overlook that. But regardless, I mean, they get paid to play. Our players get paid to play and to focus and play good defense, and that's what they've been playing.
The two quarterbacks, I'm sure he's not referring to Ricky Ray. Jeremiah Mazzoli and Troy Smith of the Montreal Alouettes. Certainly neither one of them going to be up for most outstanding player of the year, the way their season has started. But his point is a good one. I think tempering expectations in all of this, in spite of the injuries and in spite of the guys that they're missing, is always a good thing. I think he's pretty good at that.
And that said, no one's thrown a touchdown against these guys.
One of the best starts ever for a Calgary Stampeder defense.
That's pretty cool.
It is. There's nothing wrong with that. So we'll talk with Huff about 6:40. We've got Stephen Brunt coming up at 7:20. Jays lose a nail biter last night at home to the Boston Red Sox.
Boy, I hope you didn't turn this off early.
Went out for a bite to eat yesterday after the golf game.
Yep.
How long? I mean, we sat there. We ordered. Had a drink, the food showed up, started eating, and the Red Sox, it was just...
Same inning.
And it's 6-1, and it's 7-1, and it's 8-1, and it's 10-1, and it's 11-1.
There she goes, David Ortiz.
What a beatdown that was. 14-1 the final. Ortiz goes deep twice. Drew and Napoli also get in for good measure. And Drew Hutchison, you wonder if... And I know on the broadcast I was just seeing on Twitter, apparently... Greg Zahn says the great story that has been Drew Hutchison might start to be kind of falling apart, and it no just how it goes. Arms wear down. Some guys, this is not a guy who's logged a lot of innings in his career.
I don't know that anything's changed with Hutch. He has had
Hutch.
Yes, that's what they call him, Hutch.
Oh, Hutch is it?
It's saving time instead of saying Hutchison.
Trust me, we got lots.
Okay, Hutchison.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a season like this. Good start, great start, bad start, good start, great start, bad start. He's been all over the map. I don't think anything changes because of one bad start. He's had many of them this year. He's also had a couple gems. He had a complete game shutout, and he went 8 innings a few starts ago before the All-Star break. He's a mixed bag. It's not like he's trending one direction. That'll be my point.
All right. I'm not really...
That's fair.
At any, don't really care to debate it. John Lackey on the other side, 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. For the victory. Lackey was a guy who quietly, his name, I know that the Red Sox are not, I don't know that they're a real playoff threat. Don't look now.
They won 5 in a row, though, geez.
In spite of this little run that they're on. But both Jake Peavy and John Lackey are names that are kind of being kicked around as potential trade fodder. Certainly not going to help the Jays, but keep an eye potentially on those two. We heard, you know, coming in, the whatever show it is that we play, that CBS thing, they were talking about Cliff Lee. He got battered last night. So I don't know what he's got left.
He's owed a ton of money. I think he's got 2 or 3 years left at like monster 20 plus M's a year. If you're going to take on that contract...
Again, we don't need abbreviations.
$1 million.
You can take the time and get
into it. $20 million per season. Mm-hmm. A lot of money. If you're going to add Cliff Lee, A, you're going to have the Phillies eat some salary, or B, you're going to be one of the heavyweights, like a Los Angeles Dodgers, like a New York Yankees, but I just don't know if that's a fit right now. And you're right with Boston. They're really young. Holt has been fantastic for them. Bradley Jr.'s a young guy.
Steve Holt!
I don't think it's Steve, no. And Xander Bogaerts, they've got a really nice young group coming through. This isn't the year for them. I wouldn't be surprised if they sold one of those two assets you mentioned, be it Lackey or Peavy.
A lot of times I'll bark out just random things like that, and you won't know what the hell I'm talking about.
That's right, yes.
That one was so random, I said it, and then it's like, where is that from? Oh, right, Arrested Development. I mean,
Someone yells Steve Holt in Arrested Development.
Yeah, well, Steve Holt is, he just barks his name out.
Okay.
Steve Holt! As if to say he's the man kind of thing.
I've got to refresh up on my characters.
Steve Holt!
Wow.
Steve Holt!
Yeah.
Steve Holt!
Steve Holt. Thank you, Jay.
Well done, sir.
Have you seen the Arrested Development?
Love the show. I haven't seen it in a while, but...
Now, here's a question, and you can get on the microphone. First three seasons were the ones that went to air and did not do very well on Fox, and then they came out with season four on Netflix.
Yeah.
Have you watched the four?
Yeah, I did.
And?
Not as good, right?
Not as good.
Fairly.
Is that the consensus?
Yeah. Little
first three seasons were hilarious.
Loved Arrested Development.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones where heard about it late, just bought the DVDs because, and then you plow your way through it, and it's brilliant.
Who's the Spanish character female with the... What's her the actress's name?
Different show.
Wrong show.
Mm.
That's Modern Family.
Oh, that's right.
Still on, by the way. Still on TV.
And that's still on TV.
That's still on TV. I'll be over here while you guys talk about TV.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll also talk with a world champion today. We are going to have a world champion on the show today.
What sport?
How do you like that? Oh, we'll give it away.
What sport?
Don't want to give it away? World champion in the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:20.
Skeet shooting?
Freshly minted world champion this past weekend.
Is it, I have no idea. This is Jensen Button?
No.
Mm.
I don't even know who that is. See, now you're saying things, and I don't know what you're talking about. And Tee Off Tuesday coming up. And yes, we golfed yesterday. And one of us is playing very well. The other, not so much. 6:11, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Interact with Boomer right now. Text 960-960 to sound off. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yeah, the fan feedback line is always is open for you. You want to get in on it? 960-960.
So what happens is you send a text to us and it magically shows up on a screen.
Yeah, we got a little screen in here. I think it's called a monitor. A monitor.
I believe that's right.
And on the monitor, we will see those messages.
So you can spew all kinds of bile, and it comes right to our eyeballs, courtesy of the monitor. Matador?
It's not all monitor.
Monitor.
It's not all negative.
Monorail. Monitor. Some of it's negative.
Some of it is negative, but a lot of it is helpful and contributes to the program.
Do we have any texts in this morning yet?
Still quiet on the old fan feedback line.
Well, we can't let that happen, guys.
Which is kind of nice. We're just going to ease into our Tuesday.
Mm.
What can we tell you? The Calgary Stampeders, as we said, are getting ready. We're going to talk with Hufnagel here in a moment. The Blue Jays get battered. Ryan O'Reilly and the Colorado Avalanche are heading to a fist fight. It's not going to end well. It's not going to end pretty. I don't really understand how it's gotten to this point. They're going to arbitration. In a weird way... they're actually maybe closer than people thought. Ryan O'Reilly wants $6.75 million per season.
Mm-hmm.
And the Avs are saying, how about 5.525? So they want him to take about a 15% pay cut after having a splendid year, quite frankly, for them last year.
Splendid.
Mm-hmm.
I have one question for you regarding this. Is it worth taking a theoretical core player to arbitration to save... less than $1 million.
The thing of it is,
because that's what it is, right? He was gonna. They had to pay 6.5. Would have got the job done, probably.
Which is why it's more than that.
Exactly.
Which is why this is more of a fist fight than anything else. He had 28 goals and 64 points in 80 games.
Two penalty minutes. I mean, he plays top line against the other team's top line. He doesn't take any penalties. He's a phenomenal two-way forward.
23 years of age, 6 foot, 200, centerman. This is it.
This is the kind of guy that GMs would drive over their dogs to get.
Yeah, this is
and the... they're taking him to arbitration. We want to save $940,000, so we'll meet you in court there, Ryan.
Maybe as a team, you need to dig your heels in and say, listen, we've got Landeskog, we've got Duchesne, we've got MacKinnon, we've got all these players. If we let one of them rule the roost or run the show, that we can't have that.
More about principle than this is about money,
first,
isn't it?
We're showing that no one player is going to dictate the terms of how things are run in Colorado.
You want a long-term deal out of your entry-level contract? You go over to Russia, you hold out? Fine. We're going to take you to arbitration if we think you're not worth that money. This is personal. This is not shrewd business dealings in my mind. This is personal with them and O'Reilly. This is about getting even. This is not about saving 900 grand.
It's gone back a number of years. And, of course, everybody knows how he's getting paid. And it's because of that offer sheet that the Calgary Flames laid on the table. And, you know, there's a few extra pieces to that story. But those we're not really going to get into at this point.
The GM's not here anymore. You'd be shocked to find that.
I just wonder what's going to happen? They're not going to trade him before he gets a deal. He's going to get a deal one way or the other from this arbitration thing. If they somehow come to terms before they go in for arbitration, it would seem miraculous at this point.
And yes, absolutely it would.
He's going to get a raise. When you look around, what are 23-year-old centermen in this league making that are upwards of 30 goals, between 20 and 30 goals?
Lots of dough.
You're going to make $6 million, 5 to 6. Well, that's just how it's going to be.
That's why Ryan Johansson doesn't have a deal yet. Columbus doesn't want to pay him. They're all of a sudden talking about a bridge rather than a long-term extension.
I was, because I am like a voyeur.
A witch?
On Twitter every once in a while.
A voyeur.
To just watch what some of the conversations are. And I know that Kent Wilson from whatever it is, Flames Nation. Is
that that's correct, yeah.
Was saying, right now, deal's offered to you from Colorado. We'll give you Ryan O'Reilly for Sean Monahan. Would you do it?
Ooh.
And there were many different trains of thought.
Well, clearly, O'Reilly's a better player today. What is not clear is where Monahan will be when he's in his fourth or fifth NHL season. That's where it becomes a good debate. Because what's the ceiling on Monahan? I really don't know. Is he just going to be a number two guy that gives you 25, 30 a year? Is there more offensively? Certainly he'll get better defensively. They all do at this age. That's a great question.
Would you? And part of it has to be contract related, because now if you're going to take Ryan O'Reilly, you're already paying him $6
million. Yeah,
and
you're adding $5 million in payroll by getting rid of Monahan cheap, yeah. Right?
Like, so that's what that, you lose, what, 4 years or 5 years of, you know, going from a 23, he's still, I mean, 23, gosh, but going from where Monahan is at 19 to 23, so you get a little bit older. But is there any guarantee? I mean, if I told you today that Sean Monahan in 4 or 5 years will be Ryan O'Reilly, wouldn't you be thrilled?
You'd be pumped.
You'd be ecstatic. Do you think that there's a chance he'd be more than that?
It's a possibility offensively, but I don't think he'll be the defensive centerman that O'Reilly could be.
And I say this over and over. Don't fall in love with your guys. He's had one season, and that's why I think it's great, because there's a lot of guys that come in, have a great first season, and then, you know, backward steps. One guy that didn't really see that was Ryan O'Reilly. 8 goals, 13 goals, 18 goals, and then, I mean, the stoppage, to 28 goals.
Pretty good for a second-round pick.
Pretty good.
Right out of junior. Bingo. Into the NHL.
So, I don't know that we need to necessarily get into that, but it's something we can certainly kick around this morning. Would you do it? Thought it was a neat topic. Would you trade Monahan for O'Reilly? You got an age, contract, all of that needs, obviously, for this needs to be a part of it. I don't know, I don't even know where I sit on it, because I see there's obviously both sides, which I think is why it's a pretty good debate. Stephen Brunt coming up, John Huffnagel before 7 o'clock right now. A quick timeout, 622, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The boys are talking sports on your drive into work. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Callahan.
Donald Glenn.
Random drops. You can count on them here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Lisa needs braces.
You just never know what's going to come out. Could be anything.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
Oh, God, make it stop.
Mark! Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah.
Bird!
Yeah. 6:25. John Hofnagel coming up in just a little bit. Now, I don't want to pull the curtain back too far.
Mm.
But I come in this morning, set my my satchel down, sit down in the chair, get logged onto the computer, and I hear a groaning from the workstation to my immediate left, which is where you sit.
That is where I sit.
And you were lamenting the fact that there's very little in terms of sports activity for the updates on 660 News.
I'm not a terribly sharp human, but I feel like I get better with reps. And next summer, you can write it down right now, unless you take the vacation. I'm not coming in Major League Baseball All-Star Week or the week after. These are the slowest weeks in sports, but there's lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about, just not a lot going on.
No. It got to the point where I actually ran a Johnny Manziel's the top-selling NFL jersey on NFLShop.com, outselling Russell Wilson, Peyton Manning, and others. Even always a number two in Cleveland's roster.
That's
on 660 this morning.
You had the NFL jersey sales in July story.
That's exactly what I ran with.
And I kind of, because I'm not going to step. It's your thing. But the first thing that goes through my mind was, oh, there's got to be something else.
There's got to be. And then I'm looking, and it's like, oh, there's not that.
Nikita Sherbak signed his entry-level deal with the Montreal Canadiens.
He's going to be a good player.
Saskatoon Blade.
Yep.
The Jays got beat up big time last night, 14-1. You had that.
Well, that was in there. Fairness. Yeah. That's pretty much all we had. Tour de France.
I do like the Alberta way that you do that one, by the way. You don't succumb to the France.
Yeah. It's true.
You hold strong. That Alberta roots.
I suppose you should say Tour de France.
The Tour de France. But you go with the Tour, as my old man would have done it, the Tour de France.
Tour de France.
Remember the old mayor?
Which one?
The last one, before Nenshi.
I was out of town for a while. Was there someone between Bronco and
no,
him?
No, Bronco.
Okay.
What was his name?
Dave Bronconier.
Right. We had Bronconiers back home in Manitoba.
Bronconiers.
Bronconier.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Bronconier?
Bronconier. I mean, they didn't call themselves that. They preferred Bronconier. But no. Go over to Bronconiers. And even as a kid, you're like, I'm pretty sure that ain't how you say it.
We did our first French class today. It's grade five. We're saying this guy's name wrong.
Yeah. Dave Bronconier.
I'd like to get some fajitas, please.
Some fajitas. How about some fajitas?
And a jalapenos that would be great, too.
The bad news for Alexander Ovechkin. Lost his chick. I know Barry Trotz has got to be hoping this is some Rory McIlroy thing. But
this was almost made the cut for the news at 6:60. This is how thin it was this morning. Almost went to Ovechkin relationship gossip.
Yeah. Unbelievable, he's single. He's single guy now.
Rhett would say this is the best thing to happen.
Maria Kirilenko. Well, the thing was though, he was struggling, and then it seemed like, well, now he's got his life in order. He's got a girlfriend. He's engaged. He's settled down, and now his numbers are better.
His plus minus wasn't better.
No,
but you're right. He had a great start to the season, and I was the one I remember standing right here, Rhett to my right, saying, "Hey, some guys a little more focused. They dial in with."
Don't
staying up all late chasing tail.
Don't do my whistle.
It's a different whistle.
It's my whistle.
It's a different whistle. It's kind of similar.
It's my, yeah.
It was your whistle.
Yesterday we were, as we had said, live at, what was the name?
Pinebrook.
The Pinebrook Golf and Country Club for the 1835 House fundraiser.
Recovery Acres.
Had a, for what looked like it was going to be a wet, soggy day, came away sunburnt, if anything.
Yeah, you guaranteed the good weather.
Yeah.
Your positivity cleared the clouds.
Really did. I'm good at that. And I had said earlier, somebody's game's in order, and somebody's is in complete disarray in this room. Now, Jay did not golf, so he's exempt. You are, your driver is dialed right in. As we were playing some sort of a mixed...
Modified scramble
thing.
Yeah.
Where everybody hits a tee shot, you then use the one, and then everybody plays the ball in from that point on.
Yeah, you take the best tee shot, and then you play in on your own.
What's going on with your driver?
I've never seen anything like it. Never seen anything like it.
Three every time. Crushed.
If I got in a cart and dropped the ball in the middle of the fairway 300 yards out, that would have been pretty close to where my drive was most of the day. I've never seen anything like it. Never. This is not normal to me. I don't want you to hold these expectations on my game.
Here's the thing I will give you. You played it cool. Because a lot of guys would have been, like really patting themselves in the back.
Pure!
Oh, that's pure. Oh, that is so pure. But you slow played it, and that's good. I appreciate that. I like a little humility here and there.
Well, I can't take any credit for it. It's the only time in my life it's happened. I mean, broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
So at some point you hit a good drive, whether you meant to or not, or whether it's skill or luck. It was a good day for the driver yesterday.
So four of us guys in this group, two of them from Conacher Oil, Merle and Jamie, came out.
Good boys.
Made a nice little donation to the Recovery Acre, so we appreciated that.
Thanks to them.
So again, for the most part, we had great tee shots to use all day long.
We were like less than full swing wedges in for the whole back nine, it felt like, which is the front nine because we started on 10. Yeah, but
regardless, wedges in all day long. And it took us until the 17th hole that we played on the day for any of us to get a birdie.
That's right.
What an absolute debacle of a short game and putting we put on yesterday.
Yeah.
What's the matter with us?
The short blade was not working for you.
Oh, my God. And the one time that you maybe would get, okay, there you go, birdie putt. That's a makeable putt. Not one.
Lip out. See ya.
Off.
And then the greens were rolling fine. It was just us. We were awful.
I'm concerned because this whole back me golfing thing, serious jeopardy now.
Yeah, the beginning of the year, you said, I'm golfing, and then we had Jamie Driscoll, our good friend at Speargrass, saying, hey, didn't Boomer quit last year? Didn't he quit? And then I said, well, Boom, what's going on here? You had quit last year. You said, I'm never golfing again.
Yeah, I was retired for 2 years.
Two years?
This year, I just said, no, I'm back in, went, bought new clubs, got everything just brand new. Let's do it.
Nice shoes.
I'm going in head first, and yesterday was a tough one. Now, I'm going to blame the course.
Hmm.
Even though it was in perfect shape, I'm going to blame the course because it was maybe a little bit over my head. Maybe a little over my skis.
You know what I'm going to blame? You didn't get a nap in.
Yeah, I didn't sleep.
You were drained. You stayed out there after the morning show. We didn't tee off till like 1:30.
Just unacceptable, really.
That's 3 hours of hanging around not sleeping. You should be sleeping there. Sleeping or eating wings. Nothing else is going to be productive for you.
You're right, Ryan. Okay, I'll do it again.
He's back.
Oh, no, I'm back. But thanks to everybody out at Recovery Acres. Got a chance to meet some pretty good people there. And like I say, pretty good cause. World champion, as I said, coming up a little bit later on in the show, Jeff Snyder.
Ooh.
Of the Calgary Roughnecks, but more importantly, of the Canadian national lacrosse team that picked up a win on the weekend over the Americans and are your world champions. He and along with Curtis Dixon, both from the Roughnecks, our world champs, and we're going to talk with Snides coming up at about 8:20.
Snides.
Yeah. Stephen Brunt, 7:20. We'll get into a little bit of baseball. Blue Jay news.
Big Blue Jay news.
Subs are sell down. It's not big Blue Jay news.
Medium size? How would you quantify the size?
It's Blue Jays news. That's it.
There's lots of news all year. I would think this would be one of the bigger 5-10 things that happen over the course of a full season.
No.
Okay. In Blue Jays regular size news, top prospect Aaron Sanchez will be recalled from AAA, reports are telling us.
Yes.
That today.
Because, I mean, Stroman, that was, you know.
That was big.
You know, that, and, you know, it's, yeah.
He's been great. Best starter.
What would be bigger news? Brett Laurie getting his hand broken or Sanchez coming up from triple?
Well, I'd suggest Sanchez because Lurie seems to get hurt three or four times every season, whether it's diving into a concrete bunker or, you know, trying to hit fastballs with his fingers on his bat. He always gets injured, so that's not huge. But this is one, if not the biggest trade chip they have in theory, or a guy that could be in the starting rotation as soon as next year. They drafted three guys a while ago, the big three. They were all in Lansing to start last year together. They traded two of them away, one to the Mets for Dickey, one to the Marlins in that massive package that brought them back, Burley, Reyes, etc. This was the guy they kept. They believe he can be a starter next year, and if you look at him, you look at where Stroman's at age-wise, and understand that Hutchison is coming off Tommy John and still just 23, you're talking about three very young starters that could be the front end of a rotation version.
See, I understand you're excited.
Yeah, so I think it's big for Jays fans, yeah.
Yeah, for a fan,
that's right.
You're excited. I'm just questioning how big the news is, what the impact. And I would say Lurie being out of the lineup is more significant than Sanchez coming in.
That's right.
That's all.
Totally agree with
Bautista
that.
Injury, bigger. Encarnacion injury,
bigger. Yeah.
That sort of thing.
If Adam Lind were to ever get a hit off a lefty, that would be much bigger news as well. So you're right.
So I talked to my mom, and she said, could you get a container of milk and a stick of butter and an MRI? Could you just get a container of milk and a stick of butter and an MRI? So I did, and doctors didn't pick it up. But my mom did.
We'll come back with John Hufnagel, head coach and GM of the Calgary Stampeders, next. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Boomer is talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Coming up next week, on Tuesday, the morning show comes live from Stewart Creek Golf and Country Club out in Canmore. It is the Hockey Alberta Foundation Charity Golf Classic.
Can't wait.
Funds raised from this event will go toward the Every Kid, Every Community Fund. Supports hockey programs in Alberta for young kids. For more details, go online, hockeyalberta.ca. This is an overnighter for you.
Yeah,
you got to pack a bag.
It's all right. See that big leather bag I carry on?
Yeah, I do.
Throw some Gitch in there. Where
Hard
we go?
To miss. Hard to miss. So you're going to travel up on the Monday.
Yeah.
And then hang out. Are you going to? Is there any golf coming your way out there?
Well, I've sent an email to the folks at Stewart Creek. I
Awful
told them
long
I'd be
way.
Thrilled to have them on TF Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking forward to the golf tournament on Tuesday, and we'll say hello.
Be great to, you know, talk about the course and have some kind of first-hand knowledge.
It's just a great story that fits in locally. We're in Canmore, so I thought maybe a local flavor. We'll get a local golf pro from Canmore on a Tuesday.
And, I mean, if you're going to Stewart Creek, probably, you know, you don't go to Silverton. Mm-hmm. You're going to talk about Stewart Creek. It's not really how that works.
See how that goes.
You want to take care of your house. 20 minutes away from 7 o'clock, as always, on a Tuesday morning. Time for the head coach and general manager of the Calgary Stampeders, brought to you by Bonton Meat Market. Just like your team, Bonton has a game plan to ensure we help you execute the perfect eating and shopping experience every time. The new location is open now in Crowfoot, Bonton Meat Market. John Hufnagel joins us. Good morning, coach.
Hi, Boomer. How you doing?
Doing good. The game on the weekend, certainly not the, I mean, not the prettiest one, but they all count, right? Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, you have some games that are, some wins that are prettier than others, but winning's tough. Winning's hard. So anytime you win, it's great. Whether we win or lose a game, we always look to improve. We have a lot of improvement to make.
We watch you on the sidelines. You're always taking notes. You've got your marker out. I guess give me the good and the bad from the way from your vantage point from that game on Friday night.
First of all, offensive penalties that really hurt our rhythm, and very avoidable penalties. We had two unnecessary roughness penalties, an objectional conduct penalty, and a time count penalty, all by the offense, which it's tough to move forward when you're going backwards. Our special teams coverage was not good. You know, we had some new guys because of injuries playing positions, and they need to be able to understand the leverage lanes and replace when their partner is being pushed inside and replace them. And, you know, we need to get better at our coverage teams.
Everyone's very excited for Bo Levi Mitchell. It was not an overly impressive game for Bo, or like we say, for the offense. Was it what Hamilton was doing defensively? Was it maybe just a little bit out of sync? What did you see?
Well, first of all, Hamilton's a very good defensive football team. A lot of people just looked at their record but didn't understand anything about their losses. They lost to Edmonton up in Edmonton. They had the lead going to the fourth quarter. They had three turnovers in the fourth quarter and ended up on the five-yard line at the end of the game and just couldn't put it in. So, number one, they're a better football team. I think that a lot of people in Calgary gave them credit for. As having said that, they stacked the box against our running game. When we put two backs on the field, they came in with five defensive linemen and three linebackers, which was unusual. We never saw that look. We did adjust to it in the second half, and that's why Rob Cote caught four balls. But, Bo struggled a bit. He didn't see the field sometimes. And, combine his misreads along with the penalties, it was tough sledding.
It's part of the process in becoming a number one, though, isn't it, Coach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, the only turnover we had in the game was Bo. They got Bo. He has to improve his ball security when he's moving around in the pocket. But for the third game in a row, he hasn't thrown the ball to the other team, which is a good thing. And he's won games. And when the game was on the line and he had to make a play, he made the play with his legs. It was a big run to get us the first down out toward midfield.
That's a big part of it, too. Like you said, he didn't turn the ball over. At least, he didn't throw it into somebody else's hands. And when he had to dump the ball off and avoid the loss of yards, he was able to do that. Not many young quarterbacks have that kind of wherewithal mentally at this point to make those plays.
You're right. Bo has done an excellent job playing the position. Every quarterback's going to have their struggles one week or another week. He has to learn from it and put it behind him and get ready for the next game. And we have a great challenge on Thursday night.
Love watching Rob Cote, John. Again, one of those guys, he's a local kid, and everybody likes to watch the local guy get it done. But he's a very useful player for you in so many ways, isn't he?
Very valuable to our football team. That's one of the reasons why the players, his teammates, select him as a captain. He does a great job in his blocking assignments, both in the run and pass game. He's skilled, has good hands, good speed, can get open in his pass routes, and does a great job for our special teams.
Another guy that kind of is in that mold, and if you're going to be in the Canadian Football League, you need to be able to play different positions, and versatility is key, and we're seeing that out of Brad Sinopoli. He gets that touchdown. He's a little bit quarterback, a little bit receiver, and I don't know that he's going to be a running back, but I was really happy to see him get that touchdown.
It was a fantastic play. We did not block it correctly. It was a run-pass option for him. He got instant pressure from the edge that should have been protected, but it wasn't. And he just made the first person miss, made another person miss, and got to the towards the sideline and got a couple key blocks by his teammates and a great touchdown run. True.
Yeah. And you needed it, too. That's that always helps.
Yeah.
John Huffnagel, head coach and general manager of the Calgary Stampeders, is our guest for Bonton Meats. When we talked, I guess it was about a week ago, it looked like maybe Keon Raymond was close and Daron Mayo was going to be out. And now, 1 week later, it looks as though Mayo is the guy who's close to returning and not yet for Keon Raymond.
You're exactly right. I'm very pleased that Daron most likely will be at the game. We'll have to make some adjustments again in the secondary because Keon's leg just isn't right yet.
And Buddy Jackson also on the outs this week?
Yeah, Buddy had that slight hamstring strain, and we got to give him a week off. So Brandon McDonald coming to the lineup, and also Jeremy Williams.
Juwan Simpson, I guess just watching that play over and over again, what was it that got Juwan? Because not often that guy goes down and stays down. It seemed like it was kind of a freak thing.
It was kind of freakish. His main injury was to his arm, upper arm.
Yeah.
And the collision kind of pinched the nerve a bit. And that was the main problem. Also on the play, he got a slight hip pointer. So he was hobbling around yesterday in practice, but he's practicing. He's getting better each and every day. So he should be full speed by Thursday night.
Well, you talk about freak things. The impact that that guy takes over the course of a game, and it was a little one like that that got him dinged in two different areas. The Eskimos, it's going to be an absolute treat to watch this one coming up on Thursday. Now, for you on a short week, because it is a Thursday game, what are the specific changes that you as the coach will make for this team? I know that it's lighter workouts and routines change a little bit, but so kind of if you can walk us through the specifics of getting ready for a Thursday nighter.
Well, first of all, the players had the day after the game off, and then on Sunday we had a late meeting 3:30, which gave the coaches a good day and a half to put the game plan together. We had our meetings, and we went out for a walkthrough practice for about 45 minutes. We were able to cover our offense, defense, and special teams in that walkthrough practice, which would be what we would consider day one. And then yesterday we had day two, but we had a good full-speed practice. We'll do it again today, or kind of the last dress rehearsal. And then have a quick walkthrough Wednesday morning, bus up to Edmonton, and, you know, get a good night's sleep and, you know, play a good football team at their house.
I don't think we as observers can really appreciate how short that week is, can we?
Well, basically, the onus is on the players. We had the luxury in our first two games to have long weeks to get ready. And my point of emphasis going into the Hamilton game is, hey, man, you had 8 days to prepare yourself to get ready for the first two league games. Now you have half the time to do it, so you have to organize your time and make sure that you're still getting the same amount of work done, study done, in a limited amount of time. And so they accomplished it last week. Hopefully there's a carryover to what their program was to get ready for Hamilton, and maybe even accelerate it because we have to play better up there.
John Huffnagel, the head coach and GM of the Calgary Stampeders, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Mike Riley and the Edmonton Eskimos await you up in Edmonton. And kind of surprising, when I think of Mike Riley, I don't know that I think of a scrambling quarterback, but there he is near the top of the league in overall rushing yards, 199. Something you're going to have to pay specific attention to, won't it?
Yeah, no question about it. You know, he's a quarterback that is very competitive. If he's close to the first down marker, he's not going to slide. He's going to cut back and do everything he can to get the first down yardage. And he's hard to bring down in the pocket. I mean, you have to wrap him up. If you just put a hand on him, that's not going to bring him down. So he can hurt you with his arm because he can throw the ball very accurately. He likes to throw the ball up and over, down the field. They do a great job with their receiver screens and provide the receiver good blocking on the perimeter, and they have a very good running back. He has a great change of directions, strong leg. Our defense has their hands full.
And that's the thing. I know you talked about it yesterday in your scrum post-practice, that while this start for your defense is one of the best that we've seen, and it's a formidable start with, you know, the touchdowns that they've given up, but at the same time, this will be their stiffest test. I know you had said, you know, two young quarterbacks, let's not get too caught up into what the history book tells us.
Well, yeah, they did play probably, arguably the best quarterback in his home park, Ricky Ray, and did a great job. But, you know, each and every week is a different challenge. And, you know, as long as we're ready to play, we play fast and we play physical, you know, we'll make it a game.
And obviously, Coach John Cornish is a topic that people are still talking about. How is it an easy thing to keep out of your locker room right now? Because it's a distraction. You don't want to worry about it. John wants to be there but can't be there. How easy is it just to move on without him?
Well, you have to. I mean, and we have very good football players replacing John. But we all want John back on the field. And with these concussion situations, you have to be patient and just allow the process to happen. Hopefully John will get healthy in a short amount of time and can get back on the field. But in the meantime, we'll have a running back on the field, and he'll be able to get the job done.
No closed practices this week, Coach?
Not really. Right. We're going to close it to the fans today, but not the media.
All right. Well, thanks. We appreciate that. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
All right, Boomer. Take care.
You bet. John Huffnagel, the coach and general manager of the Calgary Stampeders, brought to you by Bonton Meat Market. Just like your team, Bonton has a game plan to ensure we help execute the perfect in eating and shopping experience every single time. The new Bonton Meats now open in Crowfoot.
You got a potato salad guy.
If you need a potato salad guy, Greg Keller, Bonton Meats.
That's
He's
your
guy. Yeah, there it is, looking the old Calgary Sun today. The poor Eskimo fans barred from the stadium.
Well, they have to live in Edmonton first, and now they can't even watch their team practice.
No, it's
two strikes, man.
Low-hanging fruit.
Well, what do you make of that? Because you follow this league longer than I have and more closely than I have, and you know Chris Jones and the Eskimos set up more than I do. How normal is this, and would this have happened last week or next week, or is this strictly a old coach versus his former mentor, so to speak?
All of it.
Yeah?
It's... I mean, I'm sure in some respect he's now again because Chris Jones has closed the no one can go in and watch practice.
No media.
The public. And John said, hey, we're going to no fans today, and that's fine, and they can do whatever they want to do. And I know that there are somewhat strict, I know for the TV cameras, they have to turn the cameras away. They don't want them showing plays that they're working on.
Or it'll be like first run through, sure, and then after that,
you know,
turn
like
the
think of
off.
Think of a couple weeks ago. Jock Sanders with the little toss back to Bo Levi Mitchell. He hits Anthony Parker touchdown.
Flea flicker, yeah.
If you're working on that in practice, and anybody, maybe you've got some high school football coach that, you know, whatever.
Used to coach Rob Cote and knows
the head
coach.
Hey, you know what? I played high school ball with Montreal's director of player personnel, and I'm going to go to practice and watch. Hey, they're working on some kind of a flea flicker thing. You guard against that. I almost feel like that's a very small part of it, though.
Okay.
It's also to, you know, to set the tone, to let the other team know that you mean business. I think it's also to let your team know. The players are going to know. You're not going to say, hey, we're not bringing in fans because this is how big the game is. But, yeah, it's an indication. It wakes everybody up. This is how big the game is. And, yeah, if they're playing Montreal or Hamilton, I don't think they're closing it.
Right.
But that's been Chris Jones's thing. He's not got media, not allowed in the locker room, closing practices. He is all business. And so, when you're 4-0, no one's going to gripe at you for your decision-making.
And you'd hinted yesterday when we chatted with Arash that maybe him leaving Calgary, the timing and the circumstance wasn't ideal.
It was just one of the, he just left. Could have left, should have asked permission, didn't, went to Toronto, signed on with his buddies. Nah, harumph, harumph, harumph. Whereas here, it was like, oh, so I guess you're going to Toronto? Funny, had a contract, never got a phone call asking for permission.
Harumph, harumph, harumph.
And like Arash said, if they were going to somehow research and find a way whenever there's tampering in the Canadian Football League, you'd be finding people every single day of the week. It's just, there's nine teams. You know, keep people from talking. Come on. This is going to be a great game. And the thing of it is, you wish, obviously, but you wish Cornish was in for this one. You wish you had your running back, because you watch right now, and I'm not saying that's why Bo Levi Mitchell struggled, but when you have to defend against, and again, due respect, when you have to defend against Cornish or Walter, you're going to pay more respect to one than the other.
You change your defensive formation, to be sure.
Yeah. You just
game plan's different for the Edmonton defense.
I'm more willing to bet that Walter is not going to snap off a 60-yard run.
Sure.
As opposed to Cornish.
Yeah, well, that's fair. And that's what's going to make this a good game. And here's the thing. I mean, oh, geez, wouldn't it be nice if we had a quarter? Well, yeah, of course it would. But if you could pick between now, Labor Day, and the game after, if you had to rank those three games for which ones you wanted Cornish with, how would you rank them? This would be number three. So you get healthy and make sure you're healthy for the stretch run. But, yeah, it'd be nice to see number nine out there.
I wonder, too, because, of course, you just have to move on. And these guys are pros and all of that. But there's got to be part of us like, man, we miss him. Not just what he does in the field, but you're a team. This is a close team. You want to have that guy going in there with you.
Well, Vicky all said, like, it's scary. They watched Soompas last year.
Yeah.
They've seen that these are spooky injuries because you don't know. With a broken bone, you know. Oh, she'll be better in 2 months. Okay, I'll see you in 2 months. Good. Perfect. You don't know with that injury. There's no firm timeline. That's a little bit spooky.
And I would bet that John Cornish is not doing something in his off time. You know, I don't know that he's mountain biking out in Kananaskis.
So he's not boxing right now. He probably shouldn't do that.
No, I don't think there's any MMA training going on.
Right.
But yet had a setback at the same time. In front of 7 o'clock, Stephen Brunt coming up at about 7:20. Jeff Snyder of the Calgary Roughnecks, a world champ coming up. We'll talk with Jeff about the weekend that was a huge win for Canada lacrosse and for he and one of his Roughnecks teammates. Tee off Tuesday today. You've got Sean Van Kesteren coming up.
This Shaw tournament, the senior event that debuted last year, was an absolute hit. He's going to tell us about what's changed, why last year was so successful, and maybe we'll chat about Jesse Lumsden winning the closest to the pin thing with the shootout there. Lumsden.
Why are you talking? Well, that's old news. That's last week's news.
Well, it's turning, you know, maybe organized. You know, Jesse's supporting
it's
us.
It's just time to move on.
They're going to fly Jesse's flag above the clubhouse as part of the deal with when he won the thing.
Jays lose in an embarrassing fashion last night. This is not the day to go and start making sweeping changes. It's like when if you've been dumped or whatever, you start, I need to change the way I live. We got to change it. 14-1, embarrassing against the division rival. This is where steady goes the course, I guess, or does it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing they do.
Because we've been sitting here for a while talking about Alex Anthopoulos, and you know what? It's funny, with all the good that Anthopoulos has done, it's starting to get hot on him, isn't it?
It's hot on him for sure. It's hot on Gibbons, and I think it's hot on people north of Anthopoulos, too. Because, frankly, when a team owned by a company that has the resources that Rogers has gets caught with players putting some of their salary in a pot to try to get Irving Santana to show up, there's some issues north of Anthopoulos, too. But the reason there's changes today is that your starter yesterday went 2 2/3. Brad Mills yesterday, Rasmussen yesterday, Redmond yesterday. So if Jay Happ goes out today and isn't sharp in the first two innings, who's coming out of the pen? They need to make changes in the bullpen. It sounds like Aaron Sanchez, arguably number one or number two prospect in the entire organization, will be recalled from AAA Buffalo. Ditto for Ryan Goings, the second baseman, who's batting .286 in AAA, but has yet to put it together at the major league level, at least at the dish. Good defense, but not sure what else is in store for moves. So that's the latest.
Great start to your Tuesday. Just humming along out there. Sun's up, feeling good on your Tuesday. We got a good little show coming for you. And very excited about the artist of the day. Very selfish today. I won't even lie to you. I don't know that there's any...
there's no reason? A rhyme to this?
This artist has been dead for 40 years.
That's pretty harsh.
He's been dead for 40 years, but yet finds his way into 2014 sports radio.
That's a long time ago.
Not sure that even, you know, should that, probably not a great fit.
There's a better intro probably for him too, rather than the first thing about our next guest.
Our He's next dead. Guest has been dead for 40 years. You'll find out next. Sports at 960, The Fan.
This guy here is dead.